B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
And we'll get to our next guest to flesh that out a little bit, because he joins us every Tuesday. He is the preeminent NFL reporter for ESPN. His name is Sal Palantonio.
He is brought to us by Concordville Nissan.
He is. Sal, how are you feeling today?
Well, Michael, happy Thanksgiving to you and to Ty and to Natalie and everybody listening to the great Mike Missinelli program.
Thank you very much, and same to you. And I didn't have the chance to discuss this with you. You actually got a chance to ring the vaunted Sixer bell. And here I am. I got ugats.
Well, you got to know people, Michael.
No. Tell me what that experience...
Ty was on the air that night.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Ty's already rang the bell, too. Apparently, you know...
I was on the air that night on Sixers Outsiders. And so I came home from the game and I turned on the show because I love the show.
Yeah.
And
he mentioned you.
I texted him real quick and I said, Ben must have been inspired by me. That's why he hit his first three.
Yeah.
And when he hit his first three, it was like they were handing out, like Oprah was handing out free iPads to the audience.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you rang the bell. You took directions. Was that an experience for you? Does that rank up there or what?
Top 2-3 all time. Got to ring the bell.
Top 2-3. It was super cool. Of course it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think they'd ask Mikey Miss to ring the bell? Nah. All right, let me get to...
I'll put the word in for you.
Oh, okay, yeah, please, because apparently it's going to have to come from you before I get a chance to do it. Let's talk about the quarterback. It is a burning issue here in town, Sal. You've noticed it. If you're hearing it. There are two narratives here. Now, one is that this quarterback has a serious confidence problem. The second is that the lack of personnel and maybe coaching has made it impossible for him to succeed. Which narrative favors you?
Wow, I think there are more than two, but okay. You're asking the question the way you are, and I'm going to say number one, confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So after the first pass that he missed to Zach Ertz, I'm watching it very closely. It's the first drive. It's 3rd and 7. They're on the 40. Zach Ertz is wide open, crossing across the middle. He just misses him.
Yep.
Behind him. I wrote in my notebook, uh-oh.
It was. You That's thought many wrote. Things were to come that day along those lines.
And then the following drive, he misses a wide-open Miles Sanders in the flat, and I wrote down two other words. You ready for those two?
Yes.
Chuck Knoblauch.
Yeah, stiff arm. Stiff arm, 2x4 arm, I've called it all week. And so we're on the same page with this. Now, Sal, what I don't know. Can we determine what the origin is and how it can be fixed?
So why is his confidence waning? And
yes.
It clearly is, okay? He clearly is. Mm-hmm. I think first and foremost, he's got to – we've talked about this last week to the point where people were yelling at me, hey, Sal, move him out of the pocket. Yeah. I said it on your show last week. He has to be moved out of the pocket. The pocket is collapsing. The offensive line is like a turnstile. You got a lot of moving parts, guys coming in and out of the starting lineup. Andre Dillard cannot pass block. I don't care if he's on the left side or the right side. He looks like a flat-out bust at offensive tackle.
Ooh. Wow. Okay.
Good run blocker.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good pass
blocker. Well, that's interesting because that's all he did in college was pass block.
Yeah, standing up. Michael.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's that. But, I mean, he's under duress, so they've got to move him outside the pocket. 100%.
Now, we talked about that before the game. Why doesn't the coaching staff see the same thing?
You know, I think they do see it. I was kind of surprised that that wasn't part of the game plan. I know that the offensive coordinator, Mike Rose, said they had 2 or 3 of them in the game. Like, I went through the film a couple of times, and I only saw one. And it didn't look designed to me. So I don't really know what he is talking about there, honestly. I didn't think the game plan was very creative or smart. I mean, what's the number one reason they obviously lost the game? You didn't ask me this question, but I'll answer it.
Okay.
They had five turnovers. In the last 5 years in the National Football League, if you have five turnovers, your record is 1-39. And the quarterback had four of them. So that's number one. Why did he have that many turnovers? Because he was under duress a lot of the times. The pocket was collapsing around him. Again, Mike Groh, I'll quote him today. He said the quarterback's got to do a better job of putting two hands on the football. Mike, they teach that in junior high school, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and the guy's the $120 million quarterback. He should know that. So that surprised me. And obviously, guys are not getting open. But when guys were open, he didn't hit them.
No, he missed guys. So the equation...
So he's very inaccurate with the football, which goes back to that. And then, last thing. Okay, so you know you're under duress. You know the quarterback's simply not hitting open guys. So why in the world do you have him drop back 48 times in a game that really wasn't out of hand until the very end? And only have 23 rushing attempts.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
I just don't get it, Mike.
All right, so here's the thing. Here's the thing now. So there's the quarterback right now has no confidence. The coaching staff apparently doesn't really know how to get him out of it. What is the fan base supposed to think about the rest of this season and what the prospects are for this team?
Well, you gotta be able to walk before you can run, right? That's where we are right now. It's totally back to the drawing board. We can agree on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you gotta find a way to be productive offensively against Miami. The defense is gonna do their job against Miami. Although, you know, Fitzpatrick's had success. He had success in a game in Florida last year against them in a different uniform. So they got to find a way to be productive on offense. They got to do basic stuff. And to me, it begins and ends with handing the ball off to Jay Ajayi and Miles Sanders, because there really is no indication at this point that Jordan Howard is clear for contact. The stinger and the shoulder injury is still a problem. So they've got to get the running game going so that they can walk before they run. That's where the team is right now. Get a win in Miami. Gosh forbid they lose in Miami.
Wow, then you know the season's over. But
No, but you know, there are different things that are over.
Yeah, I understand that they may have to refigure this whole thing with this QB. But do you see enough success against these bad teams that they can have to make them viable enough to beat Dallas? Because, frankly, they're going to be favored in these games.
They'll be favored in every game they play now, except maybe Dallas.
Right. So in other words, can they store up enough success against these easy teams to make it that they take a confidence level in that home game against Dallas where they can win it?
Michael, I'm going to answer the question the same way. You got to be able to walk before you can run. Before you can ask me whether or not they can get it together enough to beat Dallas, I want to see them, honestly, I really do want to see them get it together enough to beat Miami.
I agree. They have to attack together some really good efforts here in these next three games.
Yeah, I mean, they ran 71 plays. Seattle only ran 57. And they only got the final touchdown in the last few seconds of the game. So the offense is totally gone. It's disappeared. It's not dysfunctional. It's not unproductive. It's totally disappeared. It's been erased. And they need to get it back against Miami. Just put together a first quarter touchdown drive. Let's see what that looks like against the very bad Dolphins.
All right,
then you by next week can talk about what they can do next.
Last question, and I know you heard this story. It was floating around. Ex-players were hearing it, that Alshon Jeffrey was cleared to play and refused to play. Did you hear anything along those lines?
I was there on Sunday, and I don't know if that's the case or not.
Okay.
I just do not know the answer to that, Mike.
All right. Sounds good. We'll talk to you.
If that's the case, that's pretty bad.
Yes, it is. All right, Sal, we'll talk.
If you know, but let's think about that for a second. If he did, in fact, refuse to play, then he could be suspended for cause, and then they don't have to pay him the $9 million next year.
He has to
be smarter than that, right?
Yeah.
When you have $9 million on the line guaranteed, how would you refuse to play? Because then you would give the team an opening to suspend you and then take away that money.
We'll see if he's in the lineup Sunday. Sal, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you.
Talk to you, Mikey.
Sal Powell, Tuesdays with Sal.
Yes, brought to us by Concordville Nissan.
That is correct.